Wrestling Radio. VGLosers.com.
You press your luck. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the SmackDown we've been waiting all week for. Yes, I went off on my little rant on Monday saying that everything on Team SmackDown was so incredibly messed up that SmackDown would definitely have to win because of the way that they've booked themselves into a corner here. And so then what happens on Tuesday night? Well, they completely changed Team SmackDown. And I was dying to see it for myself to see how it actually happened. And now that I've seen it, oh my goodness, WWE's in trouble. Basically, everything I said in that rant about how SmackDown has to win, that's out the window, because at this point, it's anybody's ballgame. Who knows what's going to happen at this? I wouldn't be surprised if 3/4 of the way through this match, they pulled some sort of crazy angle with the guys from ECW running in and attacking them, and it turned into some big stadium-wide brawl, and you know, they just kind of ditched the whole thing because, oh my goodness, did just everything. It's just hard to describe. Anyway, we're going to talk about that here in a little bit as we get into SmackDown, but just a couple quick notes is that Booker T is officially gone from TNA. At their TV tapings this week, they mentioned the fact that Booker T was gone, so his contract did expire, and he is expected to go to WWE. Also, Nigel McGuinness actually went to TNA, and he had been put under a WWE contract. He left ROH. He and Bryan Danielson both left ROH to go to WWE, and basically what happened is WWE puts people through a lot of testing nowadays. They don't want another Benoit situation, so they have to check them for concussions and check them for heart murmurs and check them for, you know, everything. And, well, it turns out Nigel McGuinness had a whole bunch of concussions that he was kind of hazy on the details. He, you know, couldn't remember a lot of stuff that happened afterwards. He talked about periods of blacking out after getting some of the concussions, and WWE just said, we can't hire you. There's just no way with that kind of brain damage that you most likely have. We just cannot clear you to wrestle. And so they sent him on his merry way, and he signed with TNA because TNA, of course, doesn't care, because they want to do anything they possibly can to get anybody to watch their show. So that's what's going on there. And, you know, I mean, to his credit, Nigel McGuinness is an incredible wrestler, but I actually have to give WWE credit on that one for, you know, just saying, you know, we can't take you. You know, Kurt Angle has made it known that he would like to go back to WWE at some point. There are some people within WWE like to see Kurt Angle back, but at this point in time, all the damage Kurt Angle has taken to his body, it is highly unlikely he would ever be able to actually return to WWE, especially with their current testing and everything. One other note is that I've gotten emails, messages from people who questioned last week when I was talking about having a song at the end of the show. What do you mean you have a song at the end of the show? Yes, we put a little bonus song at the end of every show. That's just, you know, something I've been doing here for, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months, putting a song at the end. People had no idea. They'd just been, you know, shutting off the show and going on their merry way once I start talking about the wrap-up. So I've decided we're going to get rid of the ending theme, which is just the the end of Anywhere is Better Than Here by The Replacements, which is the you know, the theme song. Instead of playing the end of the song there at the end of the podcast, we are instead just going to end with the bonus song. So hopefully a few more people will hear it, and especially this week, because a listener by the name of Mike Smith was nice enough to send me a special song that he made just for us, just for this show. It's called Dirt is Gay for Kali. So, if that doesn't entice you to stick around and listen to the end, I don't know what will. But let's get into Friday Night SmackDown here, shall we? Chris Jericho opened the show. He walked down to the ring, cut a promo. They showed the clip at the end of Raw where Team SmackDown came in and attacked Team Raw, and the brawl that they had as they went off the air, he said, you know, basically, he's going to be the face of SmackDown. He's one half the Unified Tag Champs. After Sunday, he's going to be the captain who led SmackDown to he called it a crushing win over Raw. And in order to beat Raw, he needed to tweak his team. He had to make sure that he had the best team out there. They had to prove that they were worthy of basically being in the same ring as Chris Jericho. And basically, at that point, out came JTG. He said, you're not really the boss. Like, you may be captain of the team, but you're not really the boss over me. He said that Shad was out sick tonight, but he was here to man up or whatever, and, you know, he was going to be the one that led the team to victory. So out comes Vicky Guerrero, says that, Eric Escobar, her new boyfriend, is going to make sure that everyone knows who he is. DX said they didn't know who he was, but he's going to lead the team to victory, and no one would forget the name of Eric Escobar. So, of course, he comes down to the ring. Dolph Ziggler then comes out. He jumps in the ring, and he says he would be the one responsible for the team winning. JTG basically said, what do you know about winning, because you have failed four times to win the Intercontinental Champion, to win the championship, which, if you know the plight of Dolph Ziggler, sucks to be him, because he just literally cannot catch a break. He was supposed to win the title on so many occasions, and WWE has changed their mind, never having to do with him. Always having to do with what was going on with the other guy. And so, sucks to be him. Anyway, Drew McIntyre comes out, and he said he's basically Jericho's right-hand man, and, he should have been captain, but, he can be dominant on the team and whatever. Out comes Kane, and he said none of them are worthy to fight alongside him. Jericho said him either. They want to prove that these guys are good enough, so there's going to be a match tonight. One member already called in sick, which is Shad Gaspar, because he was the one who was originally supposed to job here. So amazingly, he got sick right before the show, went back to his hotel. But they said it's going to be a 4-on-5 match, and it starts next. And if anybody on Team SmackDown of their four gets pinned, then those guys are off the pay-per-view, and the five guys they are wrestling against will take their place. So, of course, they come in from the commercial, and Matt Hardy is coming to the ring. They had R-Truth come out, who got a pretty good pop. Finlay came out. Hart Dynasty came out. So, they had a fine little match with lots of guys in it. Didn't give it a whole lot of time. You would think they would give it a whole lot more than they did, considering what was going on. But basically, Finlay came in, hit JTG with the shillelagh. Matt Hardy came in, hit the Twist of Fate, and got the pin. So JTG had to do the job that Shad Gaspar was not willing to do here tonight. So it sucks to be him. So basically, these five guys... Drew McIntyre, Eric Escobar, JTG, Shad Gaspar, Dolph Ziggler, they are all off the team, replaced by R-Truth, Matt Hardy, Fit Finlay, and the Hart Dynasty. And so, as far as Hart Dynasty versus Crime Time, whatever, I think Dolph Ziggler is someone who has a bright career ahead of him. This isn't really going to set him back any more or less than, any of the other problems he's been having with their booking of the Intercontinental title, and constantly saying he's going to win it and then changing their mind at the last minute because they don't want to piss the other guy off. But, for R-Truth, Matt Hardy, Fit Finlay, this isn't really going to help them that much. It's not that big a deal to them or their careers. And, I still think they're going to lose. Definitely, this looks like a much better team, altogether than what they had pieced together last week. But at the same time, still not. I still don't think it's on par with the Raw team. And I think with it being a little closer this way, with not up and coming guys like Escobar and McIntyre who had to make a name for themselves, since those guys are out, You know, they've basically set it up so SmackDown looks stronger, but still doesn't have to win. And so I'm pretty confident Team Raw is going to win, unless, like I said, they do some kind of crazy thing where they bring in all the ECW guys to get involved, and I, you know, I wouldn't put that past them, considering how much crud has been going on. If I can use that word, crud, use it that poorly, you know, there you go. They went backstage, and they had CM Punk with Brad Armstrong, the referee, and Armstrong said, you know, he damaged his reputation doing the screw job at, not Hell in the Cell, whatever it was before that, no final submission, no submission, final exit, whatever it was called, and he said, you know, his word is all the man has, and blah, blah, blah. And Punk said, don't be selfish. This isn't about you. It's about me winning back my championship. He said that, you know, Teddy Long is still on probation. Teddy Long said he could lose his job for this. Armstrong wanted to leave, and he went to leave, and when he opened the door, there was Vince McMahon standing there, and he goes, hey, with a big smile on his face, we need to talk. And he came in the room to talk to all these guys. We come back, and they have John Morrison coming to the ring. He cut a promo about The Miz, just basically talked about how, you know, they had made fun of Marty Jannetty, and then Jannetty actually came out and wrestled him, and Miz is nobody, and whatever. They brought out Mike Knox, and had a fine little match with Mike Knox. You know, Mike Knox had one of those soft-spoken deadly hobo promos, whatever you want to call it, talking about pain and whatever, before he came out to the ring, and, you know, fine, whatever. I know some of you guys like those, you think they're kind of neat, and I'm not really, I just don't like that old school way of having the promo going while the guy is walking to the ring, but, you know, whatever. But, you know, the match they had was fine, it was nothing special, but, Morrison, hit the Starship Pain and got the pin, so of course he's got a win going into the pay-per-view. So The Miz has beaten Marty Jannetty, and Morrison has beaten Mike Knox to go in the pay-per-view, so they're both looking strong. Who knows where they go with that one? I kind of want to say that Morrison's going to go over, but I think Miz needs the win a little bit more, so they may end up doing that, but, you know, whatever. Let's see. They showed the new SmackDown team. They basically said, you know, Jericho goes, you know, you guys are worthy, you guys have won, so, you guys have to follow my lead, and, R-Truth goes, you know what, we don't like you, but we do respect you. Finlay said, you know, don't question our loyalty is the SmackDown, you know, basically saying, we don't care about you, Chris Jericho, we care about the show that we're on, SmackDown, we care about this brand, and that's why you can trust us to be in this match. Jericho said, that's fine, that's what I wanted to hear. And he said, watch tonight as Kane and I destroy Batista and Rey, like we're all going to destroy Raw on Sunday. And he walked out of the room, and Kane kind of stood there for a minute, and he turned to the guys, puts this big goofy grin on his face, and he goes, good talk! And he turns and walks out. Weird. Crazy. They showed Mickie James sitting in back with Mae Young, the two of them having like this little conversation when Michelle McCool comes up, introduces herself, says, it's nice to see you, Young. It's not so nice for you, Mickie. You know, sorry, Mickie, that you're not on our Raw versus SmackDown Diva team match at the pay-per-view. And Mickie says, you know, hey, I understand. You don't want to put me on there because you know that I could upstage all of you and I could take your title. And she walks off, and Beth Phoenix comes up and says, hey, I'm thrilled to be on your team for bragging rights. Thanks for putting me on there. And but you know what? I said a couple weeks ago, I'm going to take that title from you. And Beth Phoenix walks off. And so Michelle McCool is standing there kind of looking around like, you know, everybody thinks they're better than me. What the heck is their problem? And Mae Young just kind of looks at Michelle McCool and says, she told you. And Michelle McCool goes, shut up. And so Mae reaches up and slaps the taste right out of her mouth. I'm not the biggest Mae Young fan, but when they use her correctly, like here, it was fine. When they put fake, there's something about Mary breasts on her and have her robe at a pay-per-view, that's not fine. But this was great. Let's see, they talked about, last week's SmackDown, where Rey Mysterio pinned Batista, and they showed that Batista's shoulder was up. They showed Rey and Batista backstage, and Batista's kind of teased him about it. He's like, you know, hey, you may have won, but my shoulder was up. And Rey's like, you know, all I heard was the referee counting 1, 2, 3, and they kind of joked. They plugged the new Batista DVD. They hug, love you, bro, and did the back slaps, the bro hugs, and Rey Mysterio walked off to go to the ring. Batista will be following shortly behind him, I'm sure. Didn't really tease the heel turn here at all, but, you know, it's fine, whatever. They had, next match was Rey Mysterio and Batista versus Chris Jericho and Kane. They did a lot of double-team moves. They did a lot of tags, Rey and Batista working really well together. But then basically, Kane breaks up the 619 that's about to get hit on Jericho, and that kind of killed their momentum there. They did a lot of Mysterio getting beaten up, basically waiting for Batista to get the hot tag. And when Batista is finally able to come in, you know, he's running wild. He's getting a lot of moves in, but, Kane is about to hit him. And so Rey jumps in. He gets choke slammed instead. He takes a huge, huge choke slam. And then Kane turns around and takes a spear from Batista and gets pinned. So Batista and Rey win. They had Batista, you know, celebrate for a half second and then turn to go to Rey and tend to him after taking that huge choke slam. So, again, no tease of the heel turn here, even though they kind of did it last week. It was not here at all. So, kind of interesting how they're going back and forth with that. They may play it up more at the pay-per-view. And like I said, they're doing really good. WWE is doing a good job of these slow burns lately, especially with CM Punk when he did his turn, what they're doing with Ted DiBiase Jr., and what they're doing here with Batista and Rey. So, I'm fine with them kind of skipping it here if something happens at the pay-per-view. If not, then I want to know what the heck they have planned for these guys. They showed Vince backstage. He was sitting down with CM Punk, who looked happy, Teddy Long, who looked sad, and Armstrong, who just had his hand on his forehead like he had a headache trying to figure everything out. And Vince said this was exciting, and CM Punk should be proud of his accomplishments. And Punk said he was a 4-time straight edge champion, and Vince said that Teddy Long gets a gold star for making this match, so kind of taking him out of his probation, or at least, I don't know, raising him up to slightly less probation, double secret, single probation, or whatever. But he said, you know, it's autumn, and you can smell changes in the air. Something's imminent, and what starts here ends at WrestleMania. And he says, to Armstrong that Bullet Bob, his dad, may end up in the Hall of Fame. Which is interesting they bring up Bullet Bob Armstrong, because last time anyone seen Bullet Bob was in TNA. A couple years ago they did a match, I think it was, was it Bullet Bob and Conan? And they had an arm wrestling match and an electrified cage. It was something retarded like that, but it was so retarded it was incredibly awesome. But anyway, they talked about that, but also foreshadowing WrestleMania kind of scares me, because it makes me wonder if it's going to be Vince McMahon versus Undertaker for the streak at WrestleMania, which hopefully Vince wouldn't win, but Undertaker's getting old and is looking to retire, so I don't even want to think about that at this point. And, Dead Man from our forum, if you're listening to this, sorry, if you're crying right now, I'm sure they have Undertaker support groups. Listening to Undertaker versus Vince at the WrestleMania this year, hey, at least it's not Sid. It could have been Sid or King Kong Bundy. I mean, really, it's much better off being Vince than either of those two. They had, next, the women's match. They had Mickie James come out, and she got an okay pop. She wrestled the good-looking Layla, because Layla did not have the poodle hair tonight. And they had what was technically a fine match. It wasn't as smooth as it probably could have been, but it was fine. everything, there were no botched spots, although there may have been some hesitation here and there with the two of them working together. They may have never had a match before. I don't really recall, but it was fine, but there was absolutely no reaction from the crowd through most of the match. But it basically won with Mickie James hitting the head kick. You thought Mickie James was going to get it with some of the moves she did from time to time, but nothing was really working. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, just kicks her in the head. Layla's down. She gets the pin. They did the Captain Lou video package, and then they, let's see, what was... Next was the main event. CM Punk came out. He had Teddy Long and Armstrong, the referee. He had a microphone in his hand, and he basically said that, everybody sucked, and blah, 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 blah. He was basically just reminding everybody that, he was going to win this, and there was no doubt about it, and they should be ready to celebrate for him being the new champion. Out comes Undertaker. They announced it as a submission match for the World Heavyweight Championship. And they basically, they show Brad Armstrong just looking, forlorn and sad and unsure of what to do and not sure if he was going to be, not sure if he's able to go through with it. They had Teddy Long just looking like embarrassed, just couldn't believe that he had been talked into this. CM Punk was just like bouncing around like the giddiest little kid. He was just basically like that, that stuck-up little rich kid that gets everything he wants, getting ready for his birthday party. You just want to punch him in the face and just wipe that grin off his face. Well, that was CM Punk just jumping around being happy. And Undertaker just, like he's trying to formulate that plan. That look in his eyes. Look at that look in his eyes. He's got a plan. So basically, Undertaker just runs up to Punk real quick, just punches him in the face, drops him real quick to stun Punk. But as soon as he can grab a hold of Undertaker, tries to put him in the Anaconda Vice, and Taker rolls away, and Taker looks at the ref, and just kind of looks around. He's like trying to see if the referee has called for the bell. Is the match over? Because, CM Punk put a hand on him. And, they all just kind of looked around, tried to figure out what was going on. And he realized that the match was still underway. So, time to keep wrestling. And they went to a commercial. They came back. And Undertaker's throwing CM Punk into the audience. Throws him into the announce table. Just does all this stuff. Hits Punk with a flying boot. Just all this kind of stuff. Anytime, Punk gets control, he starts laughing. He gets this big smile on his face. He's getting so excited. Trying to do everything he can, to just get Undertaker down on the mat. Because if he can get him down the mat, get his hands on him, then that's the end. He wins the title. So basically, they just keep going back and forth until finally Undertaker's up, getting ready to do old school, and Teddy Long stands up from his chair at ringside, and Undertaker turns to look at him to see if he's getting ready to do something, and that allows CM Punk to pull him down off the rope with an arm drag. He hits his running knee, hits the bulldog, then does his big smile, his big grin there. He tells Teddy to give him the chair, and Teddy kind of gets up, and he's really slow. He's pensive about it. He instead hands the chair to the ref. Excuse me. Hands the chair to the ref, and Armstrong is just kind of standing there with it, and Punk takes it. Snatches it out of his hands, turns back towards Undertaker, and when he does, Undertaker kicks it right into his face. Undertaker grabs Armstrong, gives him a choke slam. He turns to Teddy Long and does the rest in peace, thumb across the throat, coming for you next. You're dead, Teddy Long. And while he's doing all of that, CM Punk, is able to get up, get the chair, and he attacks Undertaker. Hits him several times with chair shots, knocks Undertaker back out on his back. Armstrong is still out from the choke slam, so CM Punk tells Teddy Long to go get a referee. He slaps the Anaconda Vice on and starts laughing and you know, just beside himself, happy, just waiting for the ref to come, another ref to come out and, you know, call for it. And the ref comes out and checks the Anaconda Vice on Undertaker, checks him, you know, see if he's knocked out or whatever. And as soon as he does that, Undertaker flips it around into a Hell's Gate, and CM Punk just starts, you know, wiggling and kicking and screaming and whatever, and finally has to tap. And so the Undertaker wins by using the Hell's Gate with this other referee, and... you know, CM Punk gets out and is, you know, coughing and grabbing at his throat and working his way back up the ramp. And they still had Undertaker, you know, just kind of sell the fact that he had been hit, you know, by several chair shots and whatever. But he got to pose with the title. He stood triumphant, and CM Punk retreated to the back. So, basically... you know, what you get out of this match is the fact that CM Punk would have had it won, but Undertaker did attack the referee, and so when he brought out the, when Teddy Long brought out the second referee, that referee was not in on the work, and so CM Punk still got screwed out. Where this leads, other than them, you know, putting blame on Vince and setting up a Vince versus Undertaker feud, I don't know. That's the only thing I see coming out of this, really, but that's what they've done here, and that's your SmackDown for the night. Pretty decent show overall. You know, nothing spectacular. Crazy start. You know, Mike Knox, John Morrison was okay. The women's match was not that great. The main event was interesting, but nothing too spectacular. And, you know, Jericho Kane versus Batista Rey was fun, but nothing special. So, kind of weak, really, as a go home for the pay per view. But in general, it was an okay show. Nothing special, nothing too great. So, I want to thank you guys for listening, and don't forget we do have other podcasts available, VGLosers.com. We do have The Weigh-In, which is your MMA podcast. We have Fantasy Football Sports Talk, for those of you who are into fantasy football and that kind of stuff. We also have, with our sister site, That New Toy Smell, we have It Figures, the toy and action figure podcast. We do lots of other reviews, and we've got a great forum. If you come to the forum, the guy who sent me today's song that we're going to use to close out the show doesn't come to the forum. He listens to us through... maybe iTunes, I guess. I'm not sure exactly. But anyway... I want to thank you guys for listening. I hope I will come back either Sunday night or Monday morning. It's just going to kind of depend on the sleep situation. But one way or another, I will be back this weekend to talk about bragging rights. We'll do another show on Tuesday for Monday Night Raw. So thanks again for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time. I don't really care for it. The ladies. What I really like to see is... Party! I'm just really into... Party! Because, you know, God bless him, you can't change who you are.